Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now.
I really am.
Let's gather a little energy. Let's make sure that our intention is set, that we have a good, positive, insightful message, that we inspire people, that this lands on the ears of the people that need to hear, that land on the hearts of the people that need to feel, that land in the hands of the people that need to do. See, that just puts me right in the space with you, okay? Okay, I love right. I love it. Mm-hmm. Well, girlfriend, you are doing the most. And thank you so much for being here on The Edge. Brains, this is where we are, On the Edge with April Mahoney and Aaron Duffy. We're going to talk about inspiration. Really what that big $25 word means. It's something that comes from within. Mm-hmm. You can motivate people. You can get up on the stage at the 1-800 ballroom. But to have deep, deep inspiration, what does that look like? How do we shape that? How do we form that? And also, she is an amazing musical singer. Oh, yes, I've checked you out, honey. Yeah. And I love the red hair. It's speaking to me. How did you develop your look? How did you get your moxie?
That's such a great question, April. And I almost have to say the first thing that comes to mind when you ask me that question, I would say I got a lot of it from my mother. My mother was a class act. Everything about her, she was always so poised and so classy and so reachable. Like when she walked into a room, if you had her attention, if like you were in a conversation, you were fully in a conversation with her. She just was just present. I lost her many, many years ago. And I think I got a lot of it from her. And then also just my incredible love of expression and love of theater and creativity. Ever since I was a little kid, I was always the one doing little plays or making up music. And my mother used to always say this very funny little line from my mom when I was a little kid. She told me that she used to always worry about me. And I'm the fourth out of five. So I was the little one. And she says, I used to watch you walking home from school and you would be by yourself. You'd have your little books, but you were in your own little world. Your head was in the clouds. And she said, I used to always just worry about you. And the reason she said she worried about me is just she just said that you were always someplace else, like because you were always creating. And she worried I wasn't as practical. But then, of course, that April was really the essence of exactly who I am and exactly what I brought to the world and what I bring to the world now.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's very similar. My mother was, I will be celebrating her 1-year anniversary of her transition. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But she was always present and she wasn't much, she was kind of shy, in certain situations. She didn't have an upper level education. She was a mother of three, very young. She was very smart. So sometimes I think in certain situations, she was more the observer. She was a little intimidated. But once you got to know her, oh my gosh, she just blossomed like a lotus flower. And my daughter is very similar to you. I was worried about her, Erin. She is a costume designer and makeup artist for the Old Globe here and La Jolla Playhouse. She is sought after. But I had no idea of what that child was going to do for a career. Mm-hmm. And she told me one day, I'm going to go to beauty school. I said, well, I'm not paying for it. I said, because you're kind of flippant, and I get you in there and you don't do it. She graduated at the top of her class and she is soaring. You have to go through my news feed and check out some of her pictures. She is incredible. Sometimes you're in that quiet space, but that's the incubator.
Yes, very much. And it's interesting because when I was 7 years, 8 years old, I remember coming home and telling my mom, when I grow up, I want to be an actor that sings songs. I mean, I just knew it at that moment. And she looked at me, April, and she said, oh, you can't do that. You'll starve in the street.
Right.
Then by the time I graduated high school, I was like, your daughter. I'm like, I want to major in theater arts. And my parents said, we're not going to pay for that. So I ended up doing communication arts, which was television and film production, which of course is my second love. You know, anything to do with creating story has been my love, right? And yet, you know, like your daughter, I still I did television film, but I also minored in theater and I still sang and I still performed and I continued to do that. Even when people said I couldn't do it, I kept just doing it because you just have to do what your soul tells you, you know, and sometimes you lose sight of that. Yeah.
And your creativity and your inspiration and your drive and your imagination, you know, imagination is the key. You've got to have the thought, but then to act on it and to, you know, keep that machine moving. How did you get into the inspiration space?
Well, you know, I, for a good 25 years, I had a dual career. So I worked in corporate America. I was up there in Silicon Valley, working for a creative agency for quite a few years and climbed up the ladder, you know, did the whole thing. My clients were some of the biggest corporations in the world. Loved it. I had a great team. And by the time I left, you know, I was VP of marketing and sales. And at the same time, in those 25 years, I was also a singer and actor, professional singer and actor. So I was doing both for 25 years. And I, and honestly, April, I really loved it. I really fed both sides of me. And then around the 2015 timeframe, I started hearing this call inside, this voice saying, gosh darn, I really wish I could merge my two careers together. Now, I didn't know what that was. I just heard it. And I thought, well, that's impossible. I remember saying that in 2015, but by 2017 is when I decided to leave my corporate job. It was time. Mm-hmm. I was ready. I'm like, I just knew it was time for a change.
What was that aha moment? What was the moment when you just said, I have had enough?
You know, this is what it was. When I realized that my job no longer was feeding me. And what I mean by that is I would say the first 20 years of being in the creative agency, it was fun. It was creative. We were doing these incredible projects for some of these amazing companies. I had a great team and it was all about creativity, all of it. But what was happening is that was slowly disappearing. A lot of that had to do with offshoring. A lot of it had to do with companies do it yourself kind of thing. And they were peeling away all the reasons I worked for the company in the first place. And it hit me in spring of 2017 when I looked at my job and I realized that the only thing I could say about my job that was good was that it paid me really well. And anybody that knows me that pay is never number one on my list. It's probably four. So when I realized like the three top things that were really important to me were no longer there, I'm like, no wonder I'm not happy. No wonder I'm miserable. It's time to go. And I really put that sort of like that aha happened, that voice happened. And I'm like, I'm done. And it was, I said, I'm done, April. Really without a plan. And the plan, this is what the plan was. When I left, and thank God for my amazing husband, John.
Girl, I know. I got a safety net too. That's how I've been able to do what I've been doing too.
That's what I'm telling. I am so blessed because he said to me, Aaron, when you leave this company, when you leave, that's 25 years, you're not going to leave with, hey, if you want to stay in touch, here's my email and give them some Gmail address. We need to give you a company name. I'm like, well, I'm not going to start a company. And he said, it doesn't matter. You are a company.
That's right.
Your brand is a company. So we sat there and brainstormed. And he says, well, what do you see happening? I said, well, this is what I hope. I hope that whatever I do is that I can inspire others and be an inspiration to the world. So we picked inspiration. right? Or like inspiration kept appearing in my description.
Right.
And then it's like, but if I could inspire others to do and affect and change the world. And so we added that squared idea, because you tell one friend, they tell another, and it grows and grows and grows. So we came up with Inspiration Squared. And it was just, honestly, April, it was just like, that's what I'm going to do for the next couple of months until I figure out what I'm going to do next. And I'm telling you, this is how powerful that was. The day I left, I sent everybody a thank you email, all these lovely notes to people. And I said, hey, if you want to follow up with me or you want to stay in touch, here's my email and here's my phone number. Because I actually got a business number through Google. Wow. So I had Erin Duffy at inspirationsquared.com and then my business number. So what? How do you think people reacted to that? It wasn't like, oh, Erin's leaving. Wonder what she's going to do. They're like, holy cow, Erin's starting a company. Oh my God, what is she doing?
Right. You set them up.
Set them up, you know? And it was just crazy. And what ended up happening is as time went on and I start to really do a deep dive into what do I love to do? And also, what do I hate to do? Because that's a huge question. When somebody's in the middle of a career transformation, one of the best questions to ask yourself first is what is it that just lights you up? Right. What do I love doing? And then also, what don't I ever want to do again? Because when you get very clear on that, you park that stuff you no longer want to do over there. It's done. That chapter's over. Close it. Let's start anew. It opens your world up to so much more inspiration. Right. It opens you up to what, oh, well, I love all this stuff that lights me up. What more can I do? It is amazing.
And what I need to offset. Where do I need to hire where I'm weak? Maybe I don't like accounting. Maybe I don't like marketing. Maybe I don't like the video component.
Right.
What else do I need? What do I need in my team? Because a lot of times, you know, an entrepreneur can end up entrepreneur. You still are not by yourself. You still need someone to support you, to encourage you. Who inspires you, Erin? Who pours into you?
Oh my gosh. I have to say, April, I would not be where I am today. Honestly, when I started this business in 2018, it was the mentors that were around me that encouraged me and guided me to get here. So my first mentor was Cheryl Lightsu, who was my first mentor as an executive at the agency. She's the one who really set me on this journey. She, we didn't realize it back then in 2015, but it was because of the work she and I were doing together set me up for this. And then my next mentor who really got me on this journey of building my own business Tracy, sorry, I just suddenly like drew a blank as I said Cheryl Lightsu, Tracy Pleshcourt on her Career by Design program that set me up to saying after I was done with her program, I had a business. I knew exactly what I was going to do. And this came out of my head and my heart. It wasn't anybody telling me how to do my business. It came out of me. And I remember getting on my last phone call with her as we were finishing up the program. I said, you know what, Tracy, I think I'm going to go for it. And it's because of her encouragement got me on this road. She's still a huge mentor of mine, by the way. And so is Cheryl. But then what I did, and I wonder about you, as soon as I jumped in this space, I joined an incredible mastermind of entrepreneurs. And those people, the support and encouragement that we gave each other and the belief, like keep going. It's those people that kept me on this road. And then of course, my husband. I mean, this business would not be where it is today without, he's literally, even though he's not part of my business, he is seriously a partner in this business. If it wasn't for him, there's no idea where I am today. I am so incredibly blessed. I can't even tell you.
Well, you know, let's extract the hype. I say that with you know, a monumental amount of respect. Because you have to be excited about it. You have to be motivated. Yes. You have to be driven. You have to keep going. Yes. But at the end of the day, it's a business.
It's a business.
And a lot of individuals, I'm not going to pick on women because men too, you know, you meet on the meeting to see what you're meeting about. It's impressive to put a CEO in front of your name, but you don't have the dollar signs or the commas behind it.
Right.
So I looked at a couple of the videos that you've done and you know, I love your sales approach. You're a lot like me. You're smooth. Because it's an art to selling.
Yes.
Selling is not sleazy. Selling is sexy. Mm-hmm. Selling is a psychology. You sell to value. You give people what they want. You color in the white space. It's not about me. Mm-hmm. You know, I can be on here and jaw jack all day long, but when I present myself to a potential client, what is it that you want to feature about you? How can I make you shine like brand new money? But also, how can I close the deal and make money? Mm-hmm. What's that person that's in this business space that's all hyped up, that's all excited, but not making no money? What do you say to them?
You know, as an entrepreneur, I mean, to me, you just hit it on the nose to be in business for yourself and to call yourself a CEO. And I had a great mentor who really explained you have to own being the CEO.
That's right.
You have to own it. And there's a difference between being a business owner and being a CEO. And stepping into those shoes is a big one. But when you do, you truly own your business. And as an entrepreneur, as you are building your business, one, you said it, you got to love what you're doing. You have to believe in what you're doing, and you have to believe in the transformation that you are affording your potential clients. You got to believe in that transformation. You also have to believe that you are uniquely set up to be the one to provide that transformation to that potential client. And you have to truly believe in it. And it's about them. You got to listen. You got to listen to those potential clients and listen to what they're saying. Where are their pain points? You know, what are their roadblocks? What's getting in the way? And why are they seeking you out? It's all about listening. And if you're not listening, you're making it all about you, you're going to lose them. 5 minutes into a call or 5 minutes into a one-on-one meeting, you know.
And they can see that you're not transparent, that you're not authentic, that you sent your representative.
Exactly.
You know, they do that. And it's not attractive.
No.
You know, people will say, you'll talk to people and you'll do the pre-qualification and I'm this and I'm that and I'm this. But then when it comes down to the bottom line, nothing's happening.
Right.
So what I tell people to do is if you really want to show up authentic, is listen more and talk less, because you can talk yourself right out of a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
I've been listening for the fourth time, Think and Grow Rich. There is always a nugget, a nugget inside. I don't care where I'm at. It hits on, like you said, that pain point.
Yeah.
And you want to enjoy it, but you have to see it. You have to taste it. You have to feel it. You already have to see yourself going to the bank, cashing the check. You have to ask yourself, what else is possible? And how can I do this better? What's in store for me? Who's coming around the corner? Who's going to be my next client? You have to keep that, you know, flapping on your tongue, brains, outside of pontificating and posturing the fact that you are an entrepreneur.
What
does that mean? I talked to one guy, girl, I talked to one guy on the phone, bless his heart. And I was talking to him and he says, I want to be an entrepreneur because I don't want the responsibility of a boss. And I don't want to, I don't have to worry about clients and I can come and go when I want. And I'm saying to myself, all I'm hearing is lazy.
Yeah.
Entrepreneur is the toughest job I tell people that you could ever have. It's to build a business and keep evolving. You know, a true entrepreneur builds a business to sell it off to something else. They don't mean to get stuck.
Right.
They're innovators.
Right. You know, it's, I love that you tapped onto that, because that is one thing I've learned as an entrepreneur, is that you are constantly evolving. When I look about where I was in 2018, and really it was an idea, right? Suddenly I had, 6 months later, I had my own Your Story Change Your Life program. You know, then I was beta testing it. And as that next year happened, I was growing that program. But then that even evolved, because suddenly there was other needs that were wrapped in there. And I grew other programs that are just in part of that. And suddenly there was the executive piece that was part of that, all based around my Own Your Story Change Your Life program. But evolving it, because one, I'm getting more comfortable in it, right? And I'm also understanding what I'm really good at, what I love to do, and what really lights me up, and what I can, how I can help others transform. And once you get really good there, then you start going deeper, right? You get deeper into your programs of what you offer people. And it's constant evolvement. And I'm telling you, I agree with you. Being an entrepreneur is not easy. In fact, it is way easier to go back to corporate America.
Okay, be a W-2 employee. Go ahead and get that check, girl, and that vacation and 401, yeah, and keep, yeah, it moving.
And I would never go back. And that's what I tell people. I could never go back, because as hard as this is at times, the way my life has evolved and changed in such positive ways. And the fact that I'm way more connected with who I am by doing this business. It's no longer, in the old days, April, I don't know if you relate to this, but really up until 2017, very often I would say to myself, I'm so tired of feeling like a square peg in a round hole. Mm-hmm. I did that for years. And by the way, I did it incredibly well. I fit, sure, in, even though I didn't fit, I,
sure,
made
it.
Right.
You did it, and you were proud, but we had that mindset of our parents that, you know what, you stick with a company 20 years and, yeah, you retire. And there are so many people out there, Erin, yeah, that make it to 65, but don't get their Social Security because they're dead. Right. They don't know how to, you know, I see, like, I'll use it as an example, politicians, or I call them politrickians.
Yeah.
Like that. And they will go through this. And I mean, some of them have been 3 decades. Why aren't you mentoring someone else? Why are you still stuck in those ways that, you know, 3 decades ago that are not serving you? Enjoy, yeah, your life. Quit while you're ahead. I mean, I looked, yes, at Tiger Woods play golf this weekend and I was so proud to see him. But then on the other side of it, I was like, dude, your body, you know, what do you have to prove? But again, I don't have the mindset of an athlete or a person that does that. But I did have the mindset of a person that was not rebellious, but you see the nonsense. There, you work for people that really don't care about the company, don't care about you. They got a chip on the shoulder. They're really not utilizing me in the best way they could. Cross-promoting, cross-training, just kind of keeping you pigeonholed.
Yes.
Or there's that one that's got their thumb, you know, their thumb on you the whole time. They don't want to see you grow.
Right.
A lot of times I wonder how women are going to take this big evolution because, you know, 2022 is the year of the great resignation.
Great resignation. Yep.
Folks are not wanting to go back, but you still have to eat, darling.
Right.
You gotta pay that car note and car insurance. They don't care how you feel emotionally. The bank wants their money.
Yeah.
What are you pouring into your children? How are you molding them? Now, I know that you have a bonus daughter.
Which, I do.
Right? You know, but she's looking at you as an influence. She's looking at you as a change maker. What are you pouring into her?
You know, I am so blessed because my bonus daughter, my stepdaughter, Sarah, who I adore, you know, she's 30 and she is doing such exceptional work out there. And I just love watching her and her friends just excelling, mm-hmm, at a time of such transformation. When you think about the transformations, good and bad, we've all experienced over the last couple of years, I have so enjoyed watching her just come into her own. And I think what I'm trying to do for her, as well as my nieces and nephews, and even my own generation, is it's not over till you're done.
Okay. What they say to the fat lady sings.
Exactly. And you know, I always tell this story, and this was around the same time, around 2014, here at the museum here, the MIA here, they had a Matisse show here, like 2014. And honestly, I think this was an aha moment for me, April. We were going, the show was gorgeous. I don't know if it came down there in San Diego area, but it was a gorgeous show. I've always loved his work. And this show, it was like a meandering show. You sort of walked the museum this way, and mm-hmm, it was started when he was a little boy, all the way up until his 90s. And what impressed me the most was just watching how his art evolved through each of his generations and just Then he gets to 90, and that's when he created the blue right. cycle. They remember the blue and
right.
Which, by the way, are stunning. And I'm like, I think he was 90, 92. And I remember looking at the artwork and thinking, my God, he was still creating at 92. He's not done till he's done. And that means gone, dead, right? And it's like, it was a lesson for me right at that moment. It's not over when you're 65 because you retired. It's not over, you know, when you're 70, when it's like you start taking, you know, Social Security. You might be actually walking into the best time of your life because you get to bring, you're bringing all your wisdom, your experience, your passions, taking it all and creating. What are you going to create now? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're not done till you're done. We should be creating until it's over. That's what God asks us to do. We're not done because the government says 65.
But people just, they're listening to that outside noise.
Exactly.
The outside influence of, oh, you can't do that. Or don't tell your age, you know, because, right. you know, people will, well, I know some people in corporate America right now that are looking for more seasoned employees because of their critical thinking skills, because of their creativity, because of their want and desire to be a part of a corporation. Millennials are coming up with their own thing, you know. Right. They work remotely. They go into an office. Are you kidding me? Get on the train. And, you know, they don't want a big house with the yard and the, the $500, $600 car note. They don't want that. They want it easy and breezy.
Yeah. Yep.
So tell my brains what they can expect when they come and work with you at Inspiration Squared.
Yeah. So when you come work with me, my whole thing is all, it's very story driven. It really is about tapping back in to your true essence. What happens is, April, is like when we get into our careers, into our life, we start to, like, you know, climb up that ladder and we're learning and we're working for somebody or working for a company. And as we do that, we're learning a lot and gaining a lot of experience, but sometimes we check a bit of ourselves at the door and we start to lose a little bit of our essence and a part of the stuff that makes up who we are. And then we hit a point in our career, and I call it mid-career. It's usually now it's like that mid-30s to early 50s. And we start to have all that success and we have, you know, all that we all ever wanted. We're at a nice level. And also we're realizing we're not happy, or there's a voice telling us inside that it's like, is this as good as it gets? I something's missing. Why am I miserable? And feeling almost guilty that you're miserable because you have so much success. But what that is that's your essence. That's that voice inside saying, hey, remember, I'm here. And what we do, and what I do in my story, in this Own Your Story, Change Your Life program, is we go back and tap into that, your essence, because the answer is not out here. The answer isn't go find another job and you'll just recreate the same thing over and over again until you come back into what is that telling you. And that is the true essence of you. That is your story. And when we claim that, and it's transformative, like day one, April, it is transformative. They start stepping into, you know, what lights them up. What is their emotional satisfaction DNA? What is the stuff that truly lights them up, that if they don't have it, they're in the wrong place? And I call them the non-negotiables. Like, right there, if you don't have these five things and you realize you don't, like when I figured that out when I was at the company, when I realized the four things that really light me up are no longer at this company, no wonder I'm miserable. Once that became obvious to me, I'm like, of course I have to leave, because I have to go find something that aligns with what I'm all about.
And then I'm evolved to be, I'm a different person.
Exactly. And when you start to realize, oh yeah, of course, that's why I'm miserable, that's missing. Or diving into your values. When you figure out your true values, most people can't name their values. But when we do this work, like we dig in and you claim your own words. And when you figure those out, you start to realize, oh my God, no wonder I'm not happy. This is no longer aligning with my values. And then you start to dig into your stories. And when you start tapping back into your childhood, your teenage years, your starting out years, you start to see the true essence of you and those golden threads of who you are uniquely and start to bring that back, it gets you on a road of career transformation that's unlike anything else, because it's you. It's you defining it. It's not somebody telling you. Right. It's you stepping back into April.
Right.
The essence of April. And gosh, when it happens, the transformation is incredible.
It's crazy. Yeah. I'm in a space right now where I don't have the discipline. I'll be 100% transparent to go into a corporate environment. I just, and I'm not unruly, but it's, or maybe I am. Hell, I'll own that too. but I'm not disruptive, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just not where I am right now. And I personally would rather do with less.
You know,
I don't need the six figures. I don't need the tight pencil skirt. I don't need all that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm in a different place in my life where I just want to be.
Yeah.
I want to be free. I want to be flexible, but I still want to learn. I want to be engaged. I want to pour into people, but I really want to, you know, I'm going to be 60 in a couple of months.
Yeah.
And
your birthday.
Thank you. But it's just a place in my life where I am, you know, no nonsense.
Yeah. And I get that, you know, that does happen. You will see, and I see that mostly in my clients in their 50s, that that's exactly what's happening. And that's because you've come into your wisdom. You are settled into being grounded in who you are. You're not making excuses anymore. You're proud of who you are. You
want to share that with the world. You know, I'm not trying to have the house and the car like my girlfriends. And I'm not trying to, you know, now I can travel, you know, what I want to. We were talking about, you know, our fur babies.
Yes.
I can have an animal if I want, not have an animal if I want.
Right,
you
know, right.
Go with the grandchildren if you want, send them home when you want.
Right, right. You have lots of choice. Yeah.
You have a lot of choices. You have a lot of options. But people a lot of times are afraid of the golden years, 50 to 75. Yeah. They think that there's no hope that, you know, oh, what am I going to do now? The world is a big old oyster, baby, and you are a pearl. The world needs to find you, and you need to just kind of, you know, stay there until you form into what you want to be and work with great people like Erin Duffy. Erin, tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I would love so much for them to, you know, just go in, brains, firstly, go in, watch some of her videos. Her passion exudes from the screen, okay? It will just envelop you. The ability to tell story. I'm a poet. I've been in theater. My daughter's in theater. Storytelling is it. We are all a story.
We are.
With many, many chapters, with many, many, some people have very varied amount of volumes to their story. Okay. It's not just one book. It can be very complicated. It could be very simplistic, but it's still who you are. But you need to discover that. Don't leave this planet without knowing who you are and who you are meant to be.
Yes.
Love that passion. Love is so exciting.
Yeah. You just hit it on the nose. And I tell my clients this all the time. If we show up 100% ourselves, our unique self, you have no competition.
Right.
There is nobody that can be you.
Nobody.
You need to be you. The world is screaming for you to be you. And that's why I love working with people in corporate, because that's where I came from, right? I understand what it's like. But the companies don't want you to be somebody else. They don't want you to be a copy of somebody else. They truly, truly want you to bring your unique self to that stage. That's who they're at. That's what they want. And by the way, when we do show up in that way, we are so present. And when you are present, it is amazing what you will do to the people that are surrounding you. Suddenly they want to be like you. They get more comfortable being around you because you are bringing your true essence. You're bringing your vulnerability. You're bringing who you are. And the world is screaming for us all to show up that way. And that is truly the essence of my work. That is where we get you to. And honestly, I'm like you, April. That's what I love doing. I'm not doing, I'm fine, like six figured, I don't care. If that's not why I do this work. I do this work because I love watching people grow and transform and become who they are meant to be, especially now when they brought all that experience and wisdom with them. Now's the time. The world wants them to show up as who they are.
Well, you know, and you make the six figures, you don't have time to spend them. You have this.
Right.
It's like here, San Diego to Temecula, I know people that make the commute. They're in traffic, you know, between there and back, at least 3 to 4 hours. They can't enjoy that beautiful home. When they get home, it's Saturday. They got to do the chores. Maybe Sunday they can get some rest, but they're preparing for Monday.
Yeah.
Please, I say this, enjoy your life. Yes. You know, if you've got a bunch of sick hours, I shouldn't be saying this, but get you some mental health days. Okay.
Yep.
I hate for someone to look over the casket and say, oh my God, Aaron and April were such hard workers. Yeah. They never talked about the ski trip that we went on. They never talked about the barbecues we had. They never talked about how we shared our life with our children and how we sat in the audience at my daughter's ballet recital. Mm. Enjoy your life. We are not mechanical animals.
No, we're not. No. And we have one precious life.
That we know of. I don't know.
We know of. That's true.
Yeah, I think we got many lives. But, you know, but again, I do see what you're saying. So please tell them how to get in contact with you, Aaron, your website, if you have any current offerings, so that we can get people sparking their imagination and creating passion.
Yeah, so you can go to my website, which is Inspiration Squared, and squared is SQRD.com. And I also have a micro course, actually a career micro course. It's like 20 minutes, kind of just, you know, taps into some of the work that I do with you. And it's right there on the homepage. So check that out. And also click on, if you want to have a conversation with me, click on, there's a place that you can set up a discovery call with me. Would love to get to know you. Find out, you know, how are you feeling about your career and where you are in life? I'd love to have the conversation. So don't hesitate to just sign up for one. It's no obligation at all. It's just, I love the conversation and I'd love to see if I can help you even take one step in your transformation.
Dear friend, my dear friend, Dr. Phil would say, so how's that working for you?
Yeah, I love Dr. Phil.
Yeah, and it's so important to really kind of figure it out. And if it's not working for you, it's never too late to make the change, please.
It's never too late. Again, remember Matisse, he changed up into his 90s.
That's right. Brains, I need you to evolve and go to this location right here. I need you to love, like, share, and subscribe. What did I say? Love, like, share, and subscribe. You got to get on the edge because we have everything that is fun, that is innovative, that's sharp, that sparks your passion, your interest, and we're going to tell you how to close a deal so you can put some money in your pocket too so you can eat. Thank you so much for being on the show with me, Aaron Duffy. You are the queen of everything.
Thank you so much, April. What a joy it has been to speak with you today. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye, brains.